the call to worship? I hope.
Yeah, I did the call to worship.
Okay, I was going to say, this doesn't sound right. Please join me in the opening prayer. Dear Lord, we come to you as a grateful servants. We give you praise and thanks for who you are and all you do for us. We repent and are restored into fellowship with you through the blood of Jesus. Help us to know your work for us. Help us to be faithful in all your blessings to us. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. First reading today is Philippians 3, verses 7 to 15. Yet whatever gains I had, these I have come to regard as loss because of Christ. More than that, I regard everything as lost because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things, and I regard them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but one that comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God based on faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his sufferings by becoming like him in his death, if somehow I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or have already reached the goal, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us then who are mature be of the same mind. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word.
Thank you.
Good reminder. It's too often I'm praying for him to move the mountain. Paul wrote and said, "You will be enriched in everything for all liberality, which through us is producing thanksgiving to God." See, God does not enrich us just only so we can buy new toys, but so that He can be a blessing to other people through us. He gives to us so that we can give. He gives to us so that we can give. And a little cartoon here. We make a living by what we get. We make a life by what we give. I invite you to worship God with your giving this morning. Father, we thank You for this great opportunity that You've given to us, this special gift, to be able to give back to You a little bit of what You've given to us. Thank You for that. And I pray that You'll multiply back to Your people, according to as they've joyfully given unto You, that You multiply this offering for the church, that all of our bills can be paid, all our needs here can be met, and that You'll multiply it in such a way there will be an abundance left over to do Your work and spread Your word in this community, in Jesus' name, amen. some of those old Sunday school songs aren't just for Sunday school. They work up here too. Yeah, I can't let the kids have all the fun. Okay. Well, I'm feeling much better now. I was so nervous about this thing this morning with both churches. My word. What is my problem? Barbara said to me this morning, "You okay?" She only ever says to me that to me when I'm not. See? And then I lie to her. I say, "Well, yeah, I'm fine. Why?" They, you know. Yeah. But I wasn't the only one. Pastor Thomas was nervous too. Ha! So, just let us know that. Where are we? Oh, Jeremiah. Jeremiah 23. We've been looking at some of the names of God throughout the summer, off and on. And this is a good one. They're all good. Because it's not just like something to call him by every now and then. God's names reveal who he is. Now, we can't preach on all of them because there's like hundreds and hundreds of them in the scriptures. You know, so these, some people get hung up on the name of God. Which one? Yeah, there's just hundreds of them. The most popular of them all, the one what we know as the Lord, okay, that's Yahweh or Jehovah, or Yahweh is a better translation. And that's what we're looking at, is the ones that are connected to the name Yahweh. So when we write them in English, it's Yahweh dash whatever. That's what we're looking at. So, Jeremiah 23, starting at verse 1. "Woe to the shepherds who are destroying and scattering the sheep of my pasture, declares the Lord." Now, when he's using he's not necessarily talking about pastors here. He's talking about leadership. And in Israel, the leadership was the kings and the religious leaders and the leadership of the nation. Not the pastors don't qualify in here too. "Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the shepherds who are tending my sheep, you have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not tended to them. Behold, I'm about to attend to you for the evil of your deeds, declares the Lord. Then I myself will gather the remnant of my flock out of the countries where I have driven them and bring them back to their pasture. They will be fruitful and multiply. I will also raise up shepherds over them, and they will tend them, and they will not be afraid any longer, nor be terrified, nor will any be missing, declares the Lord. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he will reign as king and act wisely and do justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will dwell securely. This is the name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness. Yahweh Tekitznua." That's a tough one. The T-S is like a Z. Z-knua. That's a tough one. If you're not Jewish, you can't actually pronounce that correctly. So, I can't. If I was Jewish, I couldn't pronounce that correctly. The Lord, our righteousness. The Lord, our righteousness. See, back in Jeremiah's day, just before they got exiled, this was to come. Today, it's here. Jesus has already come. It's in our past, actually. He's already come. He is here. Jesus is our righteousness. Now, the good thing about that is, because our own righteousness falls short. See, as human beings, you ever notice that we always compare ourselves with other people? See, so when we're comparing our wealth, see, we're saying, "Well, you know, God has blessed me, but I'm not as rich as Bill Gates." You don't pick somebody on the street and say, "Yeah, God has blessed me, and I'm a lot richer than that person as well." "No, I'm not as rich as Bill Gates. I need more money." Well, we do that with our righteousness also. See? We say, "Well, you know, yeah, I'm not perfect. I'm human. However, I'm not as bad as." I'm not as bad as. Where in reality, when we're talking about righteousness, right standing with God, which we have through Jesus Christ, righteousness being as righteous as God. Now how do you measure up?
Because that's exactly what we're being judged by. Exactly. Exactly. And thus Isaiah says, all of our righteousness is as a filthy rag. Which means, everybody have a good day. I mean, you just have a good day every now and then. You just get up and you're like, you know, Saint Rick. Yeah, it don't happen often. Obviously, it don't happen when my wife is around. She's shaking her head no. But there are days. There are days. Yes, there are days. You know, you just kind of behave yourself. Things are going good. You're just kind of, you know, Saint Rick. Yeah, it's got a good ring to it, Saint Rick. But not many days like that. But there's just some days that are better days than others. Okay, on those days, all of your righteousness is like a filthy rag to God. Now, are we in trouble or what? If our good days are that bad, we don't even want to think what the bad days are like. And we all do have bad days, right? Yes, we all do. Okay. So, what did God do? God, because our righteousness falls way short, and God loves us, and He decided when He kicked us out of the garden not to just kill everybody, or when the flood came, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. God decided that there's no man who can be righteous enough, so He would send Himself, Jesus, as a man, to live a perfect life, to pay the price for our sins, so that we could be made the righteousness of God. And thus it says, He who knew no sin was made to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. There are certain things that we will never attain to, so God just kind of gave it to us. Righteousness is one of those things. One of those things. You will never be good enough. Never, 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 never. You're not good enough. You will not be good enough. You're not going to be good enough. Nobody is good enough. And if we're getting judged by what we deserve, we are in serious trouble. And that's what the day of judgment is all about. Not for us, because we don't go to the day of judgment. But the day of judgment it talks about in the Revelation, that's what that's all about. Is God is going to judge them according to their works. Well, if I'm at that judgment, I'm in serious trouble. Because my works, though they may be better than some, are not as good as God. And if you fall short of God's righteousness, but if we have a right relationship with God through Jesus Christ, then we have been made. I'm telling you, if you ever get this, your days of sin are over. I'm telling you. If it ever dawns on you that you're already as righteous as God is, your problem with sin is over. That's the truth. That is the truth. These things that you fight with, if you fight with them, you know. If you figure out, because see, when you figure out who you are in Christ, then all of a sudden it starts dawning on you, whoa, I can't do that. Remember after you got kids? Okay, did your lifestyle change after you got children? Okay, some of it just because you didn't get any sleep anymore for a long period of time, like years. They spent a tremendous amount of money, of your money. You know, expensive. I don't know if I've ever had a toy as expensive as a kid. Man, kids are expensive. And the government, you know, after a while, you know, we got all these deductions every year, and then we started losing kids. I started losing deductions. And at the end of the year, I had more money than I had when I had the deduction. I thought, the government's not been paying me near enough to raise these children. I'm losing my deduction and making a profit. Ah, these kids are expensive. But wasn't there some things you did as a parent because you were now a parent? Like, ooh, we can't say that no more around the kitchen. Huh? See? Or, because I'm a father, I can't do this anymore. Whoa. See, don't want my kid learning this. Was there any of that? See, I'm telling you, if you figure out who you are in Christ Jesus, that's what will happen. All of a sudden you think, I can't do that. I'm a child of God. I can't do that. How ridiculous is that? Yeah, that's true. If we can grasp this, see, there's several things. If we can grasp who we are in Christ Jesus now, before we ever get to heaven, who we are now, change our life. We'll change our life. Just realizing who we are. And that's what God did for us. He made us the righteousness of God. Because we cannot attain it. See, I've said this before. I say it a lot. The Christian life is not a hard life. The Christian life is an impossible life. You cannot live the Christian life. You cannot do it. You can't. It's impossible. Because our standard is not the congregational standard. That's not the standard. The standard isn't, are we better than the Methodists? That's not the standard. See, the standard is, are we as good as God? That's the standard. Well, that's a hard, talk about a high bar to live up to. Wow. But we can't do it. So God did that for us. Just like grace. Some of this stuff we just can't, actually it's like grace, it's like love, it's like faith, a whole bunch of things we can't do. There's no way that we can just love the way God's talking about us to love. We can't do it. We just can't do it. Grace is the same thing. Grace is that we're not getting what we deserve, we're getting what Jesus deserved. He came down and took what we deserve by living, dying, going to the cross, and gave us what He deserves, which is He deserves heaven. He deserves a relationship with God. And that's what we get in Him. See, that's why I say the judgment day, we're not going to that one. We're actually going to the kind of the rewards day for the saints. Get this. This has nothing to do with righteousness. What kind of does? We get to go. Yeah. Here's us in front of God. And He's going to judge us by our standing in Christ Jesus. That's what He's going to judge us by. So when He looks at us, He sees no sin. He sees no faults. He sees no shortcomings. See, and that's before you get there. That's where you are right here today. That's how God sees you today. If you have a right standing with God through Jesus Christ, that's how He sees you today. See, how do you see you today? That's how He sees you. Because He's looking through the blood of Jesus. No sin, no shortcomings, and we're going to get there and He's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant, come on in. And He's going to reward us. We get a reward. We get heaven and we get rewards. I don't even know what the reward is other than heaven. I don't even know. Now, is that a good deal or what? That's a good deal. That is a good deal, right? Are you still with me? It's too hot. The good news is it's going to cool off tonight. Yeah, I don't know where in the divine plan that worked out, but I thought, thank you. You couldn't do this, what, Saturday night, knowing we had to be in the auditorium today. Okay. See. But it's going to cool off tonight. Next week's supposed to be really nice, so think about that. Yeah, we've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So the next time somebody implies that you are not being who you ought to be, I've had people just this week, send me an email saying, but when we get in front of God, when I get in front of God, I'm going to know more about my bad stuff than He does. Because He forgave it, and He forgets about it. He has that ability. Now, He's not bringing it up. And hopefully at that point, I'm smart enough not to bring it up. See, some of you praying about the wrong stuff. Dear God, 20 years ago I did this. Quit telling him that. Quit it. He forgave you and he forgot about it. Why are you still talking about that? Yeah, married couples come in, sometimes they have an affair or something they're trying to work through. And one of them will keep talking about it, keep talking about it, keep talking about it. I'm dealing with a couple now. Yeah. And the woman had the affair. The guy wants to know every detail. I'm telling her, do not tell him nothing. You've already told him way too much. Shut up. Too much information. He knows you had an affair. He is forgiving you. Quit talking about it. That's what we do with God sometimes. We keep talking. Why? Why? Dear God, I did this. Quit it. We have this sin consciousness. We don't see ourselves as the righteousness of God. So next morning, when you get up in the morning, you know, when you're doing whatever it is you do in front of the mirror. Okay? I don't know what Eugene and I do in front of the mirror. But I know what he does because his wife told me. Okay? But in front of the mirror, I don't shave anymore. See? Just look yourself square in the eyes of the mirror and say, you are as righteous as God is. Just tell yourself that. I bet some of you can't even do that. Can't even do it knowing that you just know you're lying. You know you are. But you're not. You're not. I'm telling you, the day you'll start believing that, it'll change your life. Your day of fighting the sin is over. It's just over. Because see that little picture on the inside of us? The only thing Freud ever got right out of all the things he did. Okay, Freud took the teachings of a Christian counselor 100 years before him, took it, threw out God everywhere he could find God, got high on cocaine, because his best revelations came when he was high on cocaine, and wrote all that he wrote. Okay? The only thing he ever got right out of it all is something he missed out of Proverbs. That picture on the inside of us, our brain works 24/7 to bring that picture to pass. It is always working, asleep or awake, to bring that picture to pass. Proverbs says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Freud missed that. Freud is not a Bible scholar, just a German. As long as we see ourselves as a sinner, struggling with sin, coming short, falling short, can't make it, can't do it, 24/7 the brain is going to be working to bring that to pass. And you will do things to bring that to pass. So if you repaint the picture on the inside, I'm telling you, there's a secret right there. Repaint the picture on the inside, change your life. Change your life. Righteous. Okay, how many people in the morning are going to look in the mirror and tell yourself, I am the righteousness of God? That's what I thought. Okay. So we're going to have to preach this one again, man. We're going to preach this one again until you get it. We are. And thanks to God, thank you, God. Thanks to God, we deserve the blessings of God. We deserve to go to heaven. We deserve God to answer our prayers while we're on the earth. Because He is the Lord, our righteousness. It's not because of us. It's because of Him in us. Him in us. Joys and concerns is one of those things we're going to have to change
as we get going because of time. We just have to have a little more control of time, and sometimes joys and concerns gets a little out of control every now and then. And, because there's people like me that like to hear themselves talk. I'm not the only one. I'm really not. But today we can do a couple quick ones. We've got plenty of time. And So we got a joy, a concern. From now on, if you have prayer requests, write them down, hand them to me. We'll get them in the box. We have people who come in during the week and pray over what's in the box.
Mine nephew, Ed Ziegenmeier, has been in Germany for the past week having a growth removed from a lymph gland. And probably as a result of this, he's going...
Do I have this thing on? Is this on for me?
Oh, it is on. It's just not up very loud. Okay, you got to talk really loud.
I never do. Anyway, he will probably be getting out of the Army before long, because this is something that has to be checked on every 3 months. So you could pray for that, that he gets out soon and in good health.
Okay, and that is your nephew? Her nephew in the Army, getting checked on, get out in maybe 3 months, and in good health. Amen. Amen. Yes, ma'am.
I have...
Nice.
See, it's not that loud. I have some joys. My grandmother on my mom's side had a double bypass about a month ago. She's in rehab right now, so she's doing a lot better. And my other grandma had her gallbladder removed on Monday, and she's walking around and doing jump jacks and stuff. But also, I want you guys to think about Rob Bowes. I got a call from Noreen. I guess he's not adjusting well. I would imagine that that's the biggest problem with him, is the adjusting. They're not sure if he's... I haven't heard anything recently.
I haven't either.
They're talking about making him start the program over, which is common because he's missed a lot of training.